Okay, we're on the top of Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Now we're up to the word Vabaye, which is 5 lines down from the top. Let's just review the machlokas between Rav and Abaye and the Braisa, which Rav quoted as a support to his position. The machlokas between Abaye and Rav is in a case where his kavana was to cut something, but he thought that that was Tolush, and it turns out to be Mechubar. And Abaye says in that case, that's not called Misasek, because he intended to cut something. And if he was mistaken about the identity, he thought it was already Tolush, but it turns out to be Mechubar. That's classic Shogeg, and he's Chayav Achatos. Rav, on the other hand, says that's not classic Shogeg at all. That is a case of Misasek. Because if he's mistaken about the identity of the object, and therefore he thinks the action that he's doing is pure heter, then he's not aware of the maisa that he's doing. He really doesn't know the implications of his maisa, because there's a fundamental difference between cutting something that's mechubar and cutting something that's tolush. Now, Rava quotes a braisa, as we saw yesterday, in order to support his interpretation. The braisa compares Shabbos to Shar Mitzvos and comes up with the following thesis, that there's a chumrah in Shabbos above and beyond other mitzvahs, and on the flip side, there's a chumrah in other mitzvahs above and beyond Shabbos. The Gemara thinks that the chumrah of Shabbos is that you chay for each individual malacha, which would be equivalent to violating the same Iser again and again, because whether he does Tchina and Ktsira, it's always going to be the same violation of the same Iser Shabbos, Kol Malacha Lo Sasu, and that should be parallel to someone who eats Chelev, and then he goes ahead and eats Chelev a second time around. In Shabbos, he's going to be chayev two chatos, one for ktsira and the other for tchina. Whereas in chelev, he's only going to be chayev one chatos because he ate chelev twice, behelim achas. And then the Gemara says that this is not a fair equation, meaning if the braisa is trying to contrast Shabbos with Shar Mitzvahs, there's got to be some mirror image of the two cases you're dealing with. And the Gemara now thinks that the difference between Ktsira and Tchina is so radical that it's like eating Dam and eating Chelev. And in that case, there's no Chumrah in Shabbos above and beyond Shar Isurim, because just like in Shabbos, you're going to be Chayev two Chatos when you violate two malachos, then in its parallel case, where you ate chelev and you ate dam, you're going to be chayev two chatos. So we have to come up with a different kind of a case in which we can justify the braisa as giving us a chumrah in Shabbos as opposed to shar mitzvos. The Gemara then makes a second attempt and says that in a case where he ate chelev, and then he ate chelev a second time around, then that should be parallel to the case where he violated ktsira twice. The Gemara says in that case, then he's only going to be chayav one chatas, both for Shabbos and for Shar Mitzvah. So the Gemara then is forced to introduce a whole new interpretation into this braisa. And this braisa intends to compare and contrast Shabbos with Avodah Zarah. And in the case of Shabbos, if you violate multiple malachos, you bring multiple chatos. The parallel case in Avodah Zarah is where you violate multiple avodos. And Rabbi Ami has this principle that no matter how many different avodos you violate, if it was all the Heli Machas, then you only bring one chatos. So again, multiple melachos generate multiple chatos, that's a Chumran Shabbos, vis-a-vis Avodah Zarah, where multiple avodos generate one single chatos. So the Gemara now has the following problem. What do you mean he violates many different avodos of Yom HaKippur? Mimonafshach, I don't understand the case. If you're talking about a case of, I'm sorry, I skipped one step, I apologize. Now we're going to go to the Sefer, where Shar Mitzvos is compared to Shabbos, in which Shar Mitzvos is Chomur and Shabbos is Kal. And if we want to be symmetrically parallel, then we're talking about, again, a comparison between Shabbos and Avodah Zarah. So now our goal now is to search for a case in Avodah Zarah where we would have a Chumrah in Avodah Zarah. And he's going to be chayav multiple chatos in the case of Avodah Zarah. Now, when you talk about a shogeg, you're talking about lo miskaven. He didn't have kavana to violate the Isur. So the Gemara now has a problem in Monashach. How can you come up with a lo miskaven in Avodah Zarah? And therefore he's chayav a shogeg. If you're going to tell me that he thinks that this is a shul, a synagogue, and it turns out to be a monastery, and he bows down to it. So Gemara has a principle called Arei Libo Lashamayim. And Libo Lashamayim means that he is really worshipping HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning he thinks in his mind that he's paying deference to a synagogue. That can't be a case where he's a shogeg. So Gemara offers another suggestion. There's an andarta, some sort of a statue, and he mistakenly thinks that this statue doesn't represent a deity, it's just a duplicate, a replica of the king, and he is bowing down to the king out of deference to the king. So the Gemara asks the following question. If he wasn't makabel aleh ke'eloha, he has no interest at all in worshipping this statue, then that's not considered anything. He's giving deference to the king. Again, it's not exactly as acceptable as the first case where he's giving cover to a Beis HaKnesses, but nevertheless, he thinks that it's covered to the king. I'll tell you a little story. Many, many years ago, maybe a decade or more, I was walking on a Friday night somewhere in Connecticut during the winter. It was freezing, I remember, with Rav Moshe Shapiro. He was my Rebbe before I got to the Rav Shia. I don't know if you ever heard of Rav Moshe Shapiro. Anyway, we were passing beautiful homes in the streets of Stamford, Connecticut, and we passed a house which had a reindeer and Santa Claus, you know, the whole bit. You're all familiar with that. So I asked Rav Moshe, Zichron Levrach, I asked him if that would be Avodah Zarah, because these are images of Christian religion. So he was clearing back and forth, you know, he was vacillating. Is this a national kind of an expression? You know, this is American culture. Or is it a religious expression? You know, does it have a din of Avodah Zarah? Now, why do I mention this story? Because here, he bows to the statue of the king. He doesn't know that the king statue is a deity. He thinks the king statue is just a respect for the king. And that's why he bowed to it. So the Gemara says that's not called Avodah Zarah, even b'shogeg, because he had no intention to accept this statue as an idol, as a deity. So the Gemara now offers a third possibility, which is called Oved Mi Yira. And what that means is that somebody's forcing him at gunpoint to bow down to an idol. And here we get into the Shita of Abaye. Abaye holds that a person who is Oved Mi Yira, since the Torah obligates him in the mitzvah of Viniskadashti B'tov Bnei Yisrael, right, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, of Yehorik Val Yavor. So in such a case, if he was amazed, in other words, he made a deliberate decision that to save his life he would worship this idol, then Abai's opinion is he's Chayav Misa for that. If, on the other hand, he was a shogeg, he thought that the Torah says v'chai bohem, and human life takes preference over every aver in the Torah, including avodah zarah, then, according to Abaye, he would be shogeg on achiv misa b'mezit, right? And therefore, he's chai v'chatos. When are you chai v'chatos for a shogeg? When had you done it b'mezit, if you would have been aware of all the implications, the halachic implications, and you would do that same action, violating the Avera, you'd be Chayav Misa. If you weren't aware of the halacha, that's called a shogeg, otherwise known as Omer Mutter. So this person, according to Abaye, fits that category of Omer Mutter, and therefore he might be Chayav Echatos in a case where he's an Omer Mutter, which would give us a bit of an insight into how you could be in violation of Avodah Zarah and be a shogeg. Because l'chora, if you're a shogeg because you think it's a shul, or you're a shogeg because you think it's deference for the king, that's not Avodah Zarah at all. And that would not generate a chiyuv chatos. But we do have a hechatimtz of a shogeg in Avodah Zarah according to Abaye. So Gemara rejects this also. Because what are we going to do according to Rava? Rava is of the opinion that if a person was obligated to give up his life, he has to sacrifice his life in order to avoid Avodah Zarah, and he doesn't do so, he's not culpable, he's not liable. He's still begetter onus. Again, he was mevatel mitzasei of an ikdashti, he was in violation of the iser of lo sechalu eshem kodshi, and it's chil Hashem, fine. But as far as the violation of Avodah Zarah is concerned, we cannot punish him. And if that be the case, then for sure, there's no shogeg here. Because again, shogeg would be a case where had he known that he was not allowed to do so, he'd be Chayav Misa. And Rava holds that even though he knows that he's not Chayav Misa, he knows that he has to give up his life. Nevertheless, he's not Chayav Misa if he fails to do so, because he was an Oved Mi Yira. He only did it out of fear. So then, according to Rava, we're really stuck with this Brisa, because we don't know how the Brisa comes up with a Chumra and Avodah Zarah in a case of a shogeg. So the Gemara answers that when we talk about shogeg below miskaven, we're talking about a case of a ger or a tinok shenishba that was raised as an idol worshiper. So again, in the case of a tinok shenishba, I understand, you know, he's taken into a monastery when he was a youngster, but he was born to a Jewish family. In the case of a ger, it's a little bit more complicated to orchestrate this, but somehow the gerus did not include his knowledge, or did not assume his knowledge of Avodah Zarah. And these are issues in Geirus. Does he have to know all 613? But be it as it may, he was subject to Geirus. He did not know about Avodah Zorah, and then immediately he was taken away by a monastery. That's called Omer Mutter. And the Gemara postulates that in such a case, he would be Chayav Echatas. Now, he may have violated Avodah Zorah 5,000 times, you know, during the course of his idol worship. But when his career as an idolater terminates, he gets his degree, his diploma in idol worship. At that point, he realizes, oh no, what have I done? So he brings a chatos. That's called Omer Mutter. Now, we're going to have to find a parallel case in Shabbos, and we're going to have to say that in Shabbos he would not be chayv achatos. So the Gemara says, nay, that's not true. In a parallel case in Shabbos, he would be chayv achatos, because Rava, when he asked the question from Rav Nachman, back on Daf Ayin Amud Beis, in a case of Omer Mutter, in Shabbos, when a person is not aware of the Iser Shabbos, and the question is, this is what Rava presented to Rav Nachman, does he have to bring one chatos, or does he have to bring a chatos for every single Shabbos that he violated? But nevertheless, it was clear, unquestionable, in the mind of Rava, that he certainly is chayav achatos, even though he's not aware of the Shabbos. He doesn't know about the entity of Shabbos. So once again, you know, when we're looking in the Sefer for a chumrah in Avodah Zorah vis-a-vis Shabbos, the only case of Shogeg b'Avodah Zorah that we came up with was the case of Omer Mutter. He was raised in a monastery. Such a person in Shabbos is also chayav achatos. Again, you could ask, is he chayav one chatos for his whole life as a Sabbath desecrator, or is he chayav for every single Shabbos? But one thing is sure, that he has to bring at least one chatos. So give me a case where there's a chumrah in Avodah Zorah above and beyond Shabbos. And, you know, that's the end of Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, and the Gemara says we're going to have to find a whole new interpretation of the Sefer, the Braisa. We're going to have to split the Reisha from the Sefer. The Reisha is a contrast between Shabbos and Avodah Zorah, which means that multiple Avodos will generate no more than one Chatos in Avodah Zorah. Multiple Melachos in Shabbos will generate multiple Chatos. But in the Sefer, we're talking about a whole different discussion, in which we have a Chumrah in Chelev, which is called Shar Mitzvahs, vis-a-vis Shabbos. Now, before we go on, I would like to point out a kasha of Tosfos here, very fascinating kasha. Tosfos wants to know about this whole deal called Yehorig Vel Yavar in the case of Avodah Zorah. Bishlemi says, according to Abaye, that Abaye holds that if you capitulate, if that word is an appropriate word, to the Anos, you give in, and you worship the idol in order to save your life, you're chayav for Avodah Zorah. I can understand why the Torah says that you're not allowed to worship the idol. You have to give up your life because you're avoiding the Isur of Avodah Zorah. But, says Tosfos, according to Rava, who says that Avodah Meirah does not constitute Avodah Zorah, then how can we justify the halacha of Yehorig Val Yavar in the case of Avodah Zorah? Now, Rav Soloveitchik told us that if you open up the Rambam in his definition of Yehorig Val Yavar and the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and you read the Rambam carefully, you'll see that Tosfos' kasha doesn't get off the ground. Which is always fascinating to me, that, you know, people think the Rambam is just, you know, just giving you the bottom line. They don't realize sometimes the Rambam is answering kashas of Rishonim, but you have to be meticulous about the reading of the Rambam. And the Rambam is actually in Sefer HaMitzvos. I'll just read to you, you know, there's one very important line in the Rambam, and the Rambam in the ninth mitzvah of the mitzvah Aseh has the mitzvah of Lekadesh Shmo, Shenema Minikdashti B'Toch B'nei Yisrael, which we read just 2 days ago, right? 3 days ago. And then he defines the mitzvah. He says that we are obligated as Jews, Lefarsem Ha'emuna, Ha'emitis Ba'olam. We have to publicize our belief in one God. And Lo Nefached Behezek Shum Mazik. Even if it means that somebody is going to come and injure us, we shouldn't be afraid of that. The Afal Pisha Ba Aleinu Machriach Gover. We should not comply with the wishes of this person who's forcing us to worship an idol. Ela nimsar atzmenu lemisa. Now here's the punchline. Listen carefully to the next four words in the Rambam. Velo nat ehu lachshov shekafarnu. The Rambam says we shouldn't mislead him by bowing down to the idol and capitulating to his will, afal pisha belibenu mamin bo, even though we really believe that God is one, yis'ala. So the Rambam adds another equation, another dimension into the equation, and that is that even though you're worshipping out of fear, and you actually believe in God, and not in the idol, you're only bowing down to the idol in order to save your life. Nevertheless, the Rambam says, that what's the nature of Kiddush Hashem? Or in Lamdish terms, what's the Mechayev? The Mechayev is, Shelo Nateihu Lachshov Shekafarno. In other words, the Ma'anes thinks that he's going to present you with two choices, two alternatives. Either you remain loyal to your God, and you'll save your life, either you'll remain loyal to your God, and you'll lose your life, you'll forfeit your life, or, you know what, it's worth it to you, in this, shall we say, scale, on the one side is your life, on the other side is worshipping an Avodah Zarah. You know what, you're going to make the decision that it's worth it to join, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. You know, if it means that you have to be an idol worshiper, you're going to join up with the idol worshippers rather than give up your life. And in the guy's mind, since he interprets your preference, you know, you've made that decision that your first priority, that's a good word, your first priority is to save your life, even if it means accepting another religion, they believe that you've accepted that religion. Although, I have to tell you, historically, I don't know if that's true, and this you have to read the Igeres Taimon of the Rambam, but in the Inquisition, for example, there were many, many goyim that were very suspect that the Jews were clandestinely, you know, worshipping their God, and you know all the stories about breaking into Jewish homes, and they found them doing a Shabbos meal, whatever they found them, and they burnt them at the stake. So they were very suspicious that the so-called Muranos and so forth, you know, were actually true loyal Jews in the closet. But apparently the Rambam holds that in Gedorim, you know, the way the halacha operates with certain definitions, the assumption is that if you chose to worship the idol, the goyim think they've won you over. Again, they won you over shelo lishma. It's not like you accepted the idol because you really wanted to accept the idol, but at the end of the day, you accepted the idol. And even though you know very well you didn't accept the idol as a deity, but nevertheless, that's called Avodah Zarah. And as far as Kiddush Hashem is concerned, that generates a Kiddush Hashem. And if you decide to comply with the will of the Ma'anis, that's called Chil Hashem. You Mechal Shem Shamayim. Is Mevela, the Rav said that would answer Tosis Kasha. The Tosis says that if you hold like Rava, that Oved mi yira. It's not liable for the death penalty. That means it doesn't constitute avodah zarah. So why is it yehorig val yavar? The answer is, as the Rambam points out, we know very well that he's not interested in accepting this idol as a deity. But nevertheless, there's Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem, which goes to the point of Yehorg Val Yavar, simply because the Ma'anes is fooled into believing that you were willing, for the sake of saving your life, to become a full-fledged member of the idolatry workers, you know, the idolatry observers. In any event, let's get back to Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. And we're trying to figure out how to interpret the Seifa. What would be the Chumrah of Shar Mitzvos over Shabbos? And the Gemara says, we're no longer talking about Avodah Zorah. Reisha b'Avodah Zorah, the Chumrah of Shabbos over Avodah Zorah, is the multiple Chatos for multiple Molochas on Shabbos, as opposed to the single chatas that you bring in the case of multiple avodos in idol worship. But Seifa is Bishar Mitzvahs. Again, this is not l'chatchila, the best way of interpreting a brisa. We don't like to break up the symmetry and the integrity of the brisa, but that's what we're going to have to do. We have no other way, at least according to Rav Ashita, of following consistently the Seifa to the Reisha as talking about Avodah Zorah. There's no Chumrah in Avodah Zorah in terms of Shogeg vis-a-vis Shabbos, according to Rav. But rather, we're talking about Shar Mitzvahs. So now we go back to the Brice. The Brice says, Shogeg below Miskavim b'Shar Mitzvahs, and here you're going to be Chayav, and in its parallel case in Shabbos, you're going to be Pot. What's the case? Hechidami. The Sover the Shuman who. He's under the mistaken impression that what he's eating is shuman, v'acholo, but he turns out he ate chalev. And the law is that he's chayav achatos. So we're talking, according to Rav, about a mistaken identity of the object. And that enough, that is in itself enough to call him a misasek, which in Shabbos he's going to be chayav, I'm sorry, in Shabbos he's going to be potur, and in Shar Mitzvahs he's going to be chayav. Shar Mitzvahs here means chelev. Masha enke b'Shabbos the potur. So what's the case? So we have the case in Shar Mitzvahs, which means chelev, he thought it was shuman, and he ate it, it turns out to be chelev, he's chayav achatos. And in Shabbos, the parallel case is Niskavim Lachtoch Es HaTolush VeChotach Es HaMechubar. And here's where Rava brings a proof to Potter. Why? Because he's Misasek. And the Mefarshim Rashi at the top and other Rishonim want to know, why is it Taka that in the case of Chelev you'd be Chayev, whereas in the case of Shabbos your potter? And the answer is that with regard to Chelev, and we have a similar halacha parallel in Arayos, we have a hafka, so to speak, of the Ptur of Misasek, and that's because Shekain Nene. So if his body derives physical pleasure, even though he was totally mistaken about the identity, so he thought he was having a relationship with his wife, it turned out it was another woman. He thought he was eating a good gesunter piece of shuman, right? A good, what do they call it? My father-in-law, Zichron Baruch, had a name for this in, I don't know what language, I guess it was Yiddish probably, with a gimel. Okay, I can't remember what he called it. Anyway, he used to eat the fats, you know, they used to make a jelly out of it. What was it called? Griven, right, griven. Gee, I haven't heard that word in a while. If you wanted to be on the good side of my shver, I would give you the following choices. Number one, a good schnapps, which would have to be 98 proof, and he never got drunk, never. Or you have to give him a good piece of chocolate, or give him griven. You know, if you give him griven, he was your best friend for life. Anyway, so he thought he was eating a gesunter piece of shuman, and what he enjoyed in his body was chelev. That's called shekein nene. So we have a principle called Misasek b'chalovim v'arayas chayv shekei nene, and that's a sugya in Masechta Krisos. Good. So now, according to Rav Lishitoso, we have a brisa, And there are two different parts of the Braisa, the Reisha and the Sefer. The Reisha contrasts Shabbos with Avodah Zorah, and Shabbos is L'chumra. The Sefer contrasts Chelev, which is Shar Mitzvahs, with Shabbos, and in the case of Shar Mitzvahs of Chelev, it's L'chumra. Shabbos doesn't have that element of Shekein Nena. Obviously, he benefits from whatever Malachi violates, but it's not Hanos Haguf. And therefore, if he's misasik, says Rava, and he's not sure about the identity of the object, for example, he thinks he's cutting tolush, and it turns out that the vegetable that he's cutting is still mechuvah lekarka, that's called misasik. The lack of awareness of the identity of the object is misasik, and he's going to be potur because there's no shekein nen. So now the Gemara says, v'abaye. What's Abaye going to do with this sefer of Shogag below Miskavin, which we said he'll be chayev in Shar Isurim, but in Shabbos he'll be potter. Hechidomi. Right? If you're going to tell me it's a case of Chelev and Shuman, then Abaye holds in the parallel case of Mechuba, of Tolish and Mechubar, he's chayev. So we even out Chelev and Shabbos. Why did the Braisa say in the Sefer that there's a Chumra in Shar Mitzvos compared to Shabbos? So the Gemara answers that Abaye is going to interpret the case of Shar Mitzvos B'Shogeg as a case where his Kavana was to eat Chelev Nimoach. Okay, there are two types of Chelev. You can have, you know, chelev in its natural state, which is, in inverted commas, is a solid. Or you can melt down chelev and convert it into a liquid. That's called chelev nimoach. So what's the lo miskaven here? And what's going to be a case where it's a mistaken, a mistaken identity of the object, which is so radically different in terms of its impact on the action, that in Shabbos he's going to be potter. Again, in Shar Mitzvos, like Chelev, he's going to be chayev, despite the fact that he has a total unawareness of the Cheftza, of the identity of the object, because we have the principle of Misasik Chayev and Chelev because of Shkeinen. But in its parallel case, where there's such a wide discrepancy between what he intended to do and what he actually did, that's going to be, even according to Abaye, a case of misasik. But again, we now have to find a mirror image, a case, a scenario which is similar in Chelev but Yochayev, and is similar, it's parallel in the case of Shabbos and Yopot. The Savur Roku Ublao. He identified Chelev Nimoach as Rok. Now, I'm not exactly sure how we orchestrate this. We'll have to go through Rashi carefully. But the main point of Rashi is that Rok, when you swallow your saliva, and he mistakenly thought that what he had in his mouth was not chelev nimoach, but was saliva. I guess there's a certain similarity between the two. Swallowing roke, otherwise known as blia, is not called a maisachila. That would be classic misasik. Again, he's going to be chayov in this particular case because of shekein nene. But in Shabbos, we don't have the svar of shekein nene, there's no physical pleasure. And if we have a situation where he didn't have at all an intention to do that maisa, then he'll be potter midin misasek. Mashen kein b'Shabbos the potter din iskami lag b'yas atolish b'chot samachubar. So he thought he was lifting up a knife, for example, and he didn't think that on the way up he would cut something. And he actually cut something, which is a malacha of ktsira, if it's mechubar, is potter. In Shabbos, he would be potter. Because that's the extreme case of Misasik, that even Abai is on board that it's called Misasik. Abai is not willing to accept Misasik and broaden his scope to include a mistaken identity, but he does agree that if you have a mistake about the Misa, right, let's say, for example, you were rolling over, not knowing that there were utensils. So as you rolled over, the weight of your body crushed and broke the utensils. That would be misasek, according to Abaye. He didn't have kavan at all for that maisa. Or, for example, he's blowing what he thinks is clearing out the shofar, and lo and behold, he gets a tekiah. You know, he stands up, and he doesn't realize that there's a stone sitting in his lap, and he flies the stone out, and it breaks something. So those are cases of misasek where he's totally unaware of the maisa. And in Shabbos, we're going to have this case where his intention was to do a maisa hagbah, to lift something up, and instead he cut something. Hagbah and chituch are two separate maisa. Insofar as he's not aware of the fact that he's doing chituch, this is, even according to Abaye's definition, Abaye has a much more narrow definition of misasek, this is misasek. Aval, and here Abaye argues against Rava, niskavin lachtok satol shchotas ha-mechubar, if he's simply mistaken about the identity of the object, but he's definitely on board for maisa chituch, he thinks he's cutting vegetables that are already been detached, but instead he's cutting a vegetable that's still attached to the ground, that's going to be chayv. That's not misasik, because all Abaye requires in order to make you into shogeg is an intention to do that mice. In the case of Agbah, you didn't have an intention for chituch, and therefore you're misasik. The similar parallel case in Chelev would be where he had intention for blia, to swallow something like saliva in his mouth, and it turns out that there's a chelev nimoach in his mouth. And that's where we got up to in this sugya. Now, we're not finished with the machlokas chin Abai v'Rava. The Gemara now is going to add another dimension, another application to this machlokas. Itmar, niskavein lizrok shtayim v'zorak arba. He had a kavana for his rika, but his rika was two amos. In Rishus HaRabim, that's nothing. That's heter gomor. But as it turns out, he threw it with an extra force, and it flies four amos. Is Rava Omar Potter, Abai Omar Chayev. Again, this is very similar, in which Rava is always the Mekil and Abai is the Machmir. Because Abai is going to say that he had a kavana for a Zrika. Rava Omar Potter, Loko Mechavim, Zrika the Arba. In other words, Zrika the Arba is called, let's call it Shinui Rishus. I'll explain in a minute. But Zrika Lishtayim, that's not Shinui Rishus. It means that according to Rava, if a person is situated in Rishus HaRabim, he becomes the hub, so to speak, of a radius that surrounds him, which is four amos, and that's his domain. That's his piece of Rishus HaRabim for now. If he throws something beyond four amos, then he's putting it into another domain, into another rishus, and he's chayev chatos for that. But if he didn't have kavana for zrika of arba, his kavana was to keep it, so to speak, in his own rishus, then that's not considered kavanas mice. But Abai Omar Chayv to call Mechavim Lizrika Bialma, since he has kavana, a full intention of Zrika, therefore he's Chayv. The Gemara brings another scenario in which Abai Varava will argue about Misasik. Kosovar, so again we're talking about a person who throws an object, but he throws it fully, intentionally to travel, fly four amos, but Kosovar, Rishus HaYochid, He thinks he's throwing it within a Rishus HaYachiv and Nimtzeis Rishus HaRavim. Rav Amar Potter. And we'll see why in a second. Abai Omer Chayev. Rav Amar Potter De Ha Lo Mechavin Lizrika Di Sura. Again, just like we saw in the case of Chituch, if he thought he was cutting Tolush, that's not called a Chituch for Mechubar, because Chituch of Tolush is Hetera, and Chituch of Mechubar is Isura. The Torah has defined, therefore, two categories of Chituch. They're fundamentally different. They're two different Maisen. Here also, a Zrik and Rishus HaYachid is a different kind of Zrik Alpidin than a Zrik and Rishus HaRabin. So if his kavanah was for a Zrik and Rishus HaYachid, he's a Misasik. He had no intention of a Zrika in Rishus HaRab. V'abai Omer Chayav, Tohaka Mechavein Lizrika Bialma. We define the Maisa in very secular, mundane terms, and there's a Zrika. This is exactly what he wanted to do. You can't call him a Misasik. What, he didn't want to do a Zrika? Like the case I gave you before, he had no intention of blowing a tekiah from the shofar. Yeah, the Gemara has another case where he was reading a Sefer Torah and he read the Parsha of Kriyat Shema. Why was he reading the Parsha of Kriyat Shema? He was a Kore Lagia. He was trying to listen and see if the words are written properly in the Sefer Torah. That's called Misasik. But if a man wants to do a Zrika, he's just not aware of the fact that this Zrika is a Zrika, that's the Isura. That's a classic shogeg according to Abaye. That's called an Omer Mutter, and he's Chayav Achatos. The Gemara says that we need all three cases that we've discussed. Let's go over the three cases. The first case was where he had in mind to do a chituch of Tolush, and he did a chituch of Mechubar. The second case is he had in mind to throw it 2 amos in Rishus HaRab, and he threw it 4 amos. The third case is we had in mind 4 amos in Rishus HaYochid, and it turned out to be Rishus HaRab. Tzricha. I need all three cases. The Iyashmina Kamaisa. If I only knew that the Machlok Shina by Verava, and Rava says that you are Potter as a Misasi because your Kavana was Lachtoch es hatolush is bahukama. Rava says he's potter from achatos b'toros misasek when he had in mind to cut tolush to aloka mechavein lechaticha di isura, because in the case where he wants to cut something that in his mind is already tolush, that's not chaticha di isura. By the way, don't compare this Chaticha Disura to Hanan in Chulin Daf Kuf Ches. That's a different Chaticha Disura. Here, Chaticha Disura means Chituch. Chituch means the act of cutting. It has nothing to do with a Chefta Disura Chaticha. Avol Niskavin Lizrok Shtayim Vizorak Arba. In other words, what happens if he has in mind to do the beginning segment of a Maisa Isur? The Maisa Isur is made up of many parts. He had definite Kavana for the first part. So Yesh Lachar, here you could go either way. You could say that he didn't have Kavana for an Isur because one segment is not an Isur. Or you could say no, since you know that's on the way and he can't get to the ultimate Maisa, unless he starts with the smaller Maisa, that's called Kavana Lechaticha Disura. Aval Niskavi Lizok Shtayim Vizork Arba Di Arba Belo Tati Lo Mizrikale. There's no way you can throw 4 amos unless you throw 2 amos. And therefore, his Kavana is for a Zrika, which in potential could become a Zrika Disura. Is Ema Modile Ravala Baye. Okay, so the Kamashmalan is that, no, Zrika of Shtei Amos and Rishus HaRabim is not called a Zrika at all, as far as the Torah, and as far as the halachic definition of Zrika. Okay, now we get to case number three. His intention was for a zrika of four amos, but in Rishus HaYochid. If we have the first two cases, and especially the second case of Shtayim v'zork arba v'rishus harabim, b'ha kamar rava, the lo kamavim l'zrika di arba. Now, the maisa that he did was not the maisa that he intended to do. You can't compare a zrika of shtei amos to a zrika of four amos. So now we can introduce another concept, which is called lo niskaima machshavto. Every maisa has a machshava, and here his maisa never came to fruition because his machshava was to do a zrika of two amos, and a zrika of two amos in Rishus HaRabim is not called a zrika of four amos. You can't tell me that he had kavana for the kiyum maisa as it was fulfilled. Is Bahakama Rava Delom Kamichavim Lizrika the Arab. Aval in the case of Zrika Sarba Amas in Rishus Hayochid Kosavo Rishus Hayochid in Sarabim the Mechavim Lizrika the Arab Amas. As far as Hilchus Zrika is concerned, if we analyze the Zrika and isolate it, beginning four, end four, that's exactly what he had in mind, and that's exactly what he did. There's no lowness Kaima Machshavto. As far as the Zrika is concerned, Ema Modele Labait Zricha, we want to say no. We're going to extend the application of Misasik even to this case because it's a Zrika de Tera as opposed to Zrika de Sura. So again, if we isolate the Mice itself, the secular mundane action, then as such, he fulfilled his will, and he implemented his machshava to bizarik armavos. But if we look at the maisa from a halachic standpoint, alpidin, well, zrika versus ayochid does not register on the Richter scale as zrika. Tnan, the Mishnah says, "Ovos malachas arboim chaser achas vavina bei minyan alomali." So the Mishnah is telling me that if he violates 39 malachas on one Shabbos, he's going to be chayv 39 chatos, even though he had one helem and he forgot it was Shabbos, and he violated all 39 malachas. That's an accomplishment. Is bishlema la baye diomer ki hay gavna chayv. I can understand, according to Abaye, that if he had kavana to a maisa heter and he did a maisa that's similar, and it turns out to be a maisa isur, he's chayav. So even though he was mistaken about the identity of the action, he's chayav. Is mishkachasle? How do we have a case where he violates all of Hilchus Shabbos? He forgot all of Hilchus Shabbos, but he's considered a shigas malachos. So let's say, for example, he was aware of the fact that it's Shabbos, but he was unaware of the 39 malachos. And how could this be? The yoda, the Gemara gives an example, yoda the isura Shabbos, he knew that he can't do malach on Shabbos. The yoda le isur malachos, he likewise understood that Shabbos is the day which we're enjoined from doing malachos. But kata b'shiurim. He made a mistake in the shiurim. In other words, his intention was to eat less than a shiur, and instead he ate a full shiur. But again, we're not talking about achila now, because we're talking about malacha. But his intention was to do the malacha on a chatzi grogeres, and instead he did the malacha on a full grogeres. That's called a shogeg, and he's chayef. Why? Because he had kavanah to do this maisa, whatever the malacha was, just bepachos mikashir. So let's say, for example, in Hotzah, lamazogin the shir is kigrogeres. So he thought he was carrying less than a grogeres, and it turned out he was carrying a grogeres. Ela l'rava di amar potur. Rav is of the opinion that this kind of case where he was tov b'shiurim, he's potur, because this is like a case where he was miskaving to be zorik shtayim. and Zorak Arba, which according to Rava, he's Potur. So Abai came up with a very good mechanism for a Chiv Chatos in Shabbos of Tor B'Shiurin. But according to Rava, Tor B'Shiurin, and therefore he had in mind that he was doing a Maisa Heter, that's called Mesasik, and he's Potur. So Heichim Ishkachas Omizdon Shabbos V'Shigas Molochas. When is your case where he knows it's Shabbos, and he's going to be chayav for all the malachas, which he violated b'shogeg because he thought that he was eating, that he was doing a malacha on chatzi shir, on less than a shir. In that case, according to Rava, he should be potur. So Gemara says, ha nichay savralof, if we want to reconcile Rava and connect him with Rabbi Yochanan. The Omar came in Shishogah B'Kores, Afal Pisha Hezid B'Lav. We can, if we make this interrelationship, correlation between Rava and Rabbi Yochanan, which again are two different issues, but if they happen to have an overlap Shita, and Rabbi Yochanan says you can have a case where he simply doesn't know that it's a Chiyuv Kares. He realizes full well that it's a violation. He thinks a violation of a lav. And the punishment would be the classic punishment for the violation of a lav. He doesn't realize that this is a much more severe isur. That's called the shogeg. Because perhaps if you would have told him that this was a chiv kares, that far he's not going to go. So if that's the case, then mishkachas lo, we can come up with a case of zdon Shabbos v'shigas melachos, the yada lo l'shabbos belav. In other words, he thought that if you violate the melachos, then it's like you violate a lav. He doesn't know, he's not aware of the fact that if you violate a melacha, you chayav kares. So that's considered zdon Shabbos, because he knows that there's a lav of violating a melacha. And he's chayav chatos for every single malach that he violates. Why? Because he's a shogeg in kares. So let's go over this last point. Diyadalah l'shabbos belav. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, if he's not aware of kares, he's called a shogeg. And you'll ask me, but why is that called a Zadon Shabbos? The answer is he's a Zadon Shabbos because he knows that it's Osir. He's called a Shogeg on each Malacha because he thinks the violation of each Malacha would incur the violation of a Lav. He's not aware of the fact that it's a violation of a Kares. So for every single Malacha, he's going to be Chayav a Chatos. Ela Isavar. Isavarlok, Reb Shim Ben Lakish. Reb Shim Ben Lakish says Shogeg for a Chiv Chatos only if you're not aware of the Avera. He doesn't even know about the lav. Is the Yodalei B'Shabbos B'Mai? How can you talk about a case of Zdon Shabbos, where he's chayav of 39 chatos because of the shkogos of violating the 39 malachos? He doesn't even know that Shabbos is prohibited. So in this case, you can't tell me that he's chayav of 39 chatos. He could be chayav of 1 chatos for not knowing about Shabbos. And the Gemara answers, no. Even according to Reish Lakish, assuming that Rava would hold like Reish Lakish, there is a situation where he's not aware of the Malachos, and therefore he's a shogging on the Malachos. He doesn't even realize that that's a lav. But he still called this Don Shabbos. What do you mean it's Don Shabbos? If he's not aware of the Malachos, he doesn't know they're prohibited, what does he know? And the Gemara answers, the Yodalei Betchumen Ke'aliba the Rabbi Yekiva. If we all like Rabbi Akiva that Tchumen is Doraisa, even though it's not a Malach, it's a separate Isur on Shabbos, then we could say that he says Don Shabbos because he knows about Tchumen. Very odd scenario, but he's aware of the fact that if he violates this Isur Tchumen, he has desecrated the Shabbos. He doesn't know about Malachas, he only knows about Tchumen. He's a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds in Masechta Sota that the Isur Tchumen is Doraisa. And that's considered a Zdon Shabbos. So he's a Zdon Shabbos, and he knows that it's Shabbos. How does he know? How does it express itself? Well, he knows he's not allowed to walk Chutz L'Tchum. Does he know any of the Malachas? Nothing. He doesn't even know they're prohibited. Imagine. He knows that he's not allowed to walk 2,000 Amma out of the outskirts of the city. He doesn't know that he's not allowed to harvest his crop on Shabbos. In other words, in his mind, what is Shabbos? Shabbos is nothing more than a day in which you're not allowed to go out of your Konish Visa, you know, where you started your Shabbos. You can't go 2,000 Amos. That's Shabbos. That's all there is to Shabbos. I was thinking, if I could find this, if you open up to the Zmiris of Shabbos, I think there's one of the Zmiris of Shabbos that might. Now I wanted to read to you a note here. Das Rashi, Medubar Shiskavin Lizrok Lemerchok Shte Amos. His intention was to throw it 2 amos. Uvitos Zorak Lemerchak Arba Amos. And that means that Divrei HaGemara Misbarim Kipshutom Shebechlal Zrikas Arba Yesh Zrikas Shtayim. But Rabbeinu Tam, and we're going to mention Rabbeinu Tam again in Mitzvah Hashem later, Medubar Sherotzel Lizrok L'Mokom Misuyom. He wanted to throw it at a certain point, that it should land in location X. Hayesavur Shurachok Shtei Amos. He thought that, you know, he's Meshire, that's only 2 amos away. Turns out that place where he wanted it to land was actually 4 amos away from him. So then, his kavin lizrika zu, he had in mind this zrika, el shetah b'mida. He has a mistake about how far that zrika is from where he's standing. So he writes here, the name of the Ritva, Tzorch Lomar, Shekevan Shebechol Mokom, Kshavrotza Lizrok Arba, Eina Yochol, Im Lo Yizrok Shtayim, Gam Zrikas Ashtayim, Bechlal Melechas Ha'Iserhi, Venechshav Shizkavim Lizrika Zu, Vahinu Choshvim Shebiofin Zer Rava Lo Yiftar. So the Habmin of the Gemara was that throwing it 2 amos, since it's absolutely necessary in order to get to 4 amos, that's called already a Zrikas Isur. Now, there's a question here from the Pnei Yoshua that I wanted to share with you. We said that Niskavin Lachtoch Atolush Vechotach Esamachubar Koit Abaye He's Chayev. And the question now is, what's the raya that Rava brought from the Brisa? Why is this Brisa more difficult as far as Abai is concerned, more simple according to Rava? Even Abai is going to answer that this Brisa, Lishitoso, is talking about a case where he's miskami livlo arok. The Yeshlomar Sherava Yesovur She'en Lamedis Abrisa Beofen Shehemet Abaye Kaven She'eno Shchiach. That Rava's objection was, this rogue case is a very unusual, rare kind of scenario. And that doesn't seem to be the pashtus in the Brisa. Now, as we said before, the Ptur of Misasek does not apply in Chalovim Varayos, because the essence of the sin is the Hanah. The Torah says you're not allowed to get this kind of a Hanah, whether it's Chelev and Achila, whether it's Erva in the case of Gili Arayas. And once he gets the Hanah, he's Chayav Achatos. But the Achronim here add something. They say, B'melech HaShabbos Eino Chayav Af Imnen. What happens if he would get Hanah from a Melech HaShabbos? But that Hanah is not part, it doesn't define the very essence of the Isur Melech HaShabbos. So even if he happens to get Hanah, that's like accidental, and that would not undermine the Halacha of Misasek. And now I want to share with you a Tosfos Rid. The Tosfos Rid understood in Rashi that what Rashi had in mind here, when he swallows and he doesn't even think he's doesn't have any intention for a maisachila, is therefore, in the case of chelev, you're chayev for belias chelev, just like you're chayev for achilas chelev. And in fact, he was boleas achelev. It was chelev nimoach. He did the exact pa'ula that he wanted to do, which is belia. Why should he be considered a mesasek in this case? So therefore, the Tosfos Rid suggests a different shot. They were talking about a case where chavero tochav lo chelev l'toch piv, his friend shoved the chelev into his mouth. V'hu lo hirgish b'tchiva, he didn't feel the chelev. V'ayasavur shemashiyesh b'piv hu kok shalatzmo, he thought it was his own saliva. Kecho v'neo and blow, and he swallowed it. So since he didn't think that there was anything in his mouth other than his own roke, that makes him into a misasik. That's equal to miskaving like bias atolush v'chotach es hamechubar, which is a case that even according to Abaye, that's an extreme misasik. And why is this? Because he doesn't think he has anything in his mouth other than roke. The Bach, however, seems to assume that Blias Rok is not considered Achila at all, because Rok is called a Dover Mos, and it doesn't lend itself to Achila. And in fact, that's why he's allowed to swallow his saliva on Yom HaKippurim. They never forced him to spit out his saliva on Yom HaKippurim, because that's not called an Achila. It's not what we call Roi for Achila. So now we understand, says the Bach, very well, why in the case of his Kavin Levlo Rok, if he swallows Chelev Nimoach instead of his own Rok, that's considered a Mesasek, because Blias Rok, which he had Kavon on, is not even considered a Maisachila. So it's not at all similar to Blias Chelev, which is considered an Achila. Okay then, so this is where we're going to stop, and we have a brand new part of Masechta Shabbos Bli Neder tomorrow.